Would you turn your Bible to chapter 2 of Daniel? Chapter 2 of Daniel, please. And tonight we need to cover 49 verses. So it's going to be a little bit lengthier than before. So, okay. Let's start. When we have a dream, maybe you don't, I do. When I wake up in the morning, I kind of try to figure out, what was that all about? Do you have that kind of dreams?
Yeah.
And or sometimes you're really tired because you've been chased by something or somebody. And sometimes it's completely silly, or another one could be downright scary. And then sometimes you have this thought, what was that all about? That's a pure demonic. Have you ever had that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. I had a guy climbing a ladder up on my roof last night.
Did you?
In your dream.
In my dream. I couldn't figure out why he was there.
Ended up being married.
Anyway, so when that kind of dream comes along, and you, while you're laying in your bed, you're asking God to forgive you because you even thought about that kind of thing. And when you wake up in the morning, you're glad it's over. As I mentioned in our last study, the book of Daniel is a very important part of the eschatology in the Bible. The dream of Nebuchadnezzar in chapter 2 and four beasts mentioned in chapter 7 and the 70 weeks of Daniel in chapter 9 becomes a main structure for the biblical prophecies. Any of you guys have a sermon outline note? Would you give it to Sandy if you have extra?
There's just one. There's two there. Okay.
Our Lord Jesus Christ taught the Olivet Discourse in Matthew 24 and 25 that during the Last Supper out of this book. The Lord gave the dream to this heathen king that is going to happen in the future and also warned him to humble himself. We see many dreams and visions that are mentioned in the Bible. So what are the difference between the dream and the vision? Dreams from God happens during the state of a man's sleeping, obviously, and the vision is while that person is fully awakened. So you cannot say that while I had the vision while I was sleeping. No, that should be a dream. Am I making sense? And one particular night, the King of Kings visited the sleeping king who thought he is it. He thought there's no one greater than him, and he had a rude awakening, literally. Let's stop and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again, allowing us to come into your presence at your throne room and knowing that we are going to hear from you. Your precious word coming alive to our heart because Holy Spirit will explain, not a man. Father, we pray that you speak to us and help us understand what is going to happen, not for the curiosity's sake, but to know that you are one true God. Open our heart to receive your word. Give us wisdom and give an anointing to the one who speaks, that he may only speak your word and not his own. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, one more thing, Lord. You're willing. You put the right word to the president's mouth. He may speak the truth. And while you give him the strength and the right word, Father, you reveal the deception that is coming from the Biden's mouth. And that you revealed his deception. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I know some people would object that I would pray this kind of thing. I shouldn't talk about the political things. Get over it. Verse 1.
No.
Now in the second year of the king Nebuchadnezzar's reign, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams. His spirit was also troubled that his sleep left him. Then the king gave a command to call the magicians, astrologers, and sorcerers, and the Chaldeans to tell the king's dreams. So they came and stood before the king, and the king said to them, I have had a dream. My spirit is anxious to know the dream. Then the Chaldeans, whichever, spoke to the king in Aramaic. O king, live forever. Tell your servant the dream. We will give an interpretation. And king answered and said to the Chaldeans, my decision is firm. If you do not make known the dream to me and its interpretation, you shall be cut in pieces, and your house shall be made in a ash heap. This guy is really diplomatic. However, if you tell the dream and its interpretation, you shall receive from me the gift, reward, and great honor. Therefore, tell me the dream and its interpretation. They answered again and said, let the king tell his servant the dream, and we will give its interpretation. The king answered and said, I know for certain that you would gain time because you see that my decision is firm. If you do not make known the dream to me, there is only one decree for you, for you have agreed to speak lying and corrupt word before me till the time has changed. Therefore, tell me the dream, and you shall know that you can give me its interpretation. The Chaldean said, answered the king and said, there is not a man on earth who can tell the king's matter. Therefore, no king, no lord, or ruler has ever asked such a thing of any magician, astrologer, or Chaldean. It is a difficult thing that king requests. There is no other who can tell it to the king except the gods, whose dwelling is not with the flesh. For this reason, the king was angry and very furious, gave command to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. So the decree went out, and they began killing the wise men. And they sought Daniel and his companion to kill him. Stop there and give me your interpretation, please. Make sure you, for the time's sake, don't give me the observation. In other words, don't summarize what we just read. Give me the interpretation, please. Okay?
These folks admit that God does know all. God does control everything. Man cannot come forward and say, you know, he knows everything and he's wise on what God wants to say.
Okay, good. Anyone has leftover sermon note?
Nope. Gave them all out.
There is.
Here. Jerry started it.
You know, we all know how this ends. Was this dream strictly for Daniel, or did it have something to do with this king? Why him? Why did he get the dream?
Why he got the dream?
Why did he get the dream?
Because God chose to give it to him?
Yeah, was it? And is it because of what's going to happen with Daniel?
Yeah.
It had nothing to do with the king. It just gave it to him.
No, he has everything to do with the king because he's an arrogant king.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So, and he's through this man, he's going to give him the
dreams and interpretation. Okay.
And he was also recruiting Daniel through the king's dream.
Right.
Yes, Manny.
This is what we see in the future adds to it, but this is a direct understanding. The king does not believe the men that he counsels with. He doesn't trust them, and he's even saying he lies. They lie. He knows they're lying.
Okay.
So he is.
What does it mean to
me? What does it mean to me? Uh-huh. Right now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't trust anybody.
Okay.
I have a question.
Yes, sir.
Now Daniel and the three other guys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were groomed to be servants in the king's court. Mm-hmm. How come they're going to be killed with the magicians and the overseers?
Because they were considered as a wise people.
Oh, is that right? Okay.
And this king is not thinking. If he killed all the wise people, then he's going to have a bunch of idiots. He's not thinking. But this guy, you know, they have absolute power. And they think that they can just do whatever they want.
Just
and
like today.
Really? Okay, here's my interpretation. No one can really interpret a person's dream unless it comes from the Lord. So we still, there's people, do you know, within the Christendom, there are people who say, well, I had a dream. And some Bible teacher said, I had a dream. This is, he got almost ended up in the prison. He had the biggest church in the world, over 1 million people in Seoul, South Korea. His last name is Joe, and the first name is Yonggi, and he's about a year tall, almost like a midget guy. He told his congregation he saw the green Jesus. Yeah, I thought, what's this, green giant? Ho, ho, ho.
No, he had some bad kimchi.
Yeah, maybe too much kimchi. Or too much sardine, whichever it is.
Something.
Anyway, especially within the charismatic denomination, they tend to have this dream and the interpretation. Let's be careful. Okay? Just because you have some sort of interpretation, make sure you put it against the Word of God. Test all spirit. King Nebuchadnezzar reigned over the Babylonian Empire from 605 BC to the 562 BC. For 43 years, he reigned over them. It is hard to say if the King Nebuchadnezzar actually remembered the dream and he forgot, or he remembered what it is, but he wanted to see, make sure these guys are speaking the truth, like Manny mentioned. I'm sure he called all these people, and I'm sure among them there were Dion, Eric Estrada, and Janet Jackson, Shirley MacLaine, and all the psychic people from 1-900 Psychics. Musicians and astrologers, sorcerers, and Chaldean were supposedly smart people. One commentary says, magicians are diviners who use the chart and the magical design to answer people's questions. Sorcerers that practice the black magic art of contacting the dead to discover the future. You know, this is a little bit ironic to me.
Yeah.
If the dead people died and past sentence, how would they know that what's going to happen in the future? I guess they said because their spirit, they can tell what's going to happen, whatever. Please, if you... Huh? What? What?
Said they had connections.
They have a connection? You know, as you know, Steve doesn't talk a whole lot. So I nicknamed him Mortal Mouth. Sorcerers, I'm sorry, the Chaldeans was a special class of the astrologer and soothsayers who apparently act as a spokesman for any these people of this group of Babylonians. So these fakers and con men were really between the rock and the hard place. They were told to give a dream. Interpretation, they could concoct something. But giving dream is a different story. King could say, no, that's not, and off his head, then that's the end of it. It is impossible for them to describe the dream they've never seen and never heard. They tried to stall time, hoping that King would change his mind. He was not buying their story, only making him mad. I guess this is one way of downsizing his payroll expenditure.
Cutting his payroll.
People in America, do you know how much people spend on the horoscope or the psychic hotline, fortune telling and palm reading, that kind of thing,
too
a
much.
Year?
Too
huh?
Billions. Millions.
Millions. Okay. Do I hear billions?
Yes.
Billions. $2 billion, over $2 billion a year.
Oh, my God.
What a waste of money.
But if it's not right, you get it free.
Did you call them again? You know, Yeah, it's a bad enough. Listen. It's a bad enough for them to do that. It's the worst part is the people actually calling them.
Yeah.
Trust them.
Yeah.
Nancy Reagan, at the end of their term, she was into this garbage.
Yeah, really?
Yeah. Instead of trusting God, God of her husband, she was into this psychic thing. Yeah, you know, let me ask you this. If they really know the future, why don't they just buy the right stock?
Yeah.
Or choose the right lottery number, jackpot number,
and
become billionaires? Yes.
You know they're fake because
all
the ones out of business, they would have known that.
Yeah. They cannot discern the depth of God's counsel, communicate with his heart, or reveal his way. God's sovereignty and sorcerers are as far apart as heaven and hell. No one knows about the future except God himself. Mm-hmm. By the way, just personal story. My mother was into this thing. She was into this fortune-telling thing. So she used to take me to the Buddhist temples. She said this Buddhist guy, monk, was really good at fortune-telling. And according to this guy, I'm going to be a doctor.
Well, he really lost the mark.
Man. Yeah.
Wrong brother.
Wrong brother, exactly. Wrong brother. Daniel chapter 2:4-7:28. Text was written in Aramaic, not Hebrew. This is the only section of the Bible written in Aramaic. This was the language of the Babylonian Empire. It was the language of Gentile. At the same time, it was the language of the world at that time. So now, it's like English is the language of the world, right? Because America has a superpower. At the time, Babylonian, they had this power, superpower. It was used to be Egypt and moved to the Babylonian. And then once the Babylonian Medo-Persia is gone and Greek took over, and guess what? Which language became the dominant?
Greek,
exactly. All right, verse 14. When the council of counsel and wisdom, Daniel answered Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, who had gone out to kill the wise men of the Babylon. He answered and said to the Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree from the king so urgent? So Arioch made a decision to know to Daniel. So Daniel went in and asked the king to give him time, that he might tell the king interpretation. Note that, please, verse 16. Then Daniel went to his house and made the decision known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they might seek mercies from the God of heaven concerning this secret, so that Daniel and his companion might not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then the secret was revealed to Daniel in the night vision. So Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changes times and the seasons. He removes kings and raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals the deep and secret things. He knows what is in darkness, and the light dwells with him. I thank you and praise you, O God of my fathers. You have given me wisdom and might, and have now made known to me what we asked of you. For you have made known to us the king's demand. Stop there and give me an interpretation, please. Who has an interpretation for me? Yes.
Mm-hmm. Because as we go through his, when Daniel gives the blessings in verse 20, he says, for wisdom and might are his, and then he goes on to say, he gives wisdom to the wise, and then he goes on a little further to say, you have given me wisdom.
Okay.
So I think that.
interpretation, not the observation, please.
Yes, that wisdom comes from God.
Wisdom comes from God. Good. Good one. Yes. Who else?
I think when you're faced with a crisis, it really shows you where you're at, whether Christ is in you or not, and how you relate to that crisis.
How you handle it. Yeah. Yep. Christ does not invent the person. Christ does not invent the wise person. It only reveals the spiritual maturity of that person. It's like somebody whacked his thumb with a hammer, and then what kind of word would come out?
Yeah.
Yes, Pat.
Daniel showed composure when he was being threatened.
Okay.
He was courageous and confident, careful, and able to persuade the king where the others couldn't, because he relied on God, and that's what we should do, is rely on God to give us all the answers that we need when we're having difficulties or facing difficulties.
Good. Yes, ma'am.
She's also touching on an important part, the characteristics of a leader.
Mm-hmm.
Watching someone who in, as we said, crisis and situations, Daniel had the ability that was part of his character, because he's already overcome Ashpenaz and persuaded him, like Pat was saying. He's persuading this gentleman.
Ariat.
And he has ability because he trusts in God, because he has a confidence, not arrogance, confidence in his God, the same God we have, so that we can trust when we get into whatever the world's going to throw at us.
Okay. Who else?
I see God making himself known to Nebuchadnezzar through Daniel.
Okay. What does it mean to Mr. Bob? No. What does it mean to Bob Shazgreen? How are you going to interpret to your life? Okay, good. Anyone? Did you notice?
Daniel gave thanks to God, though, and gave him the glory for receiving the vision. So,
okay.
Trust in God, and God will take good care of you.
You're going so close with my interpretation. You're going, and then you just last moment, you beard it off.
You didn't want to take your thunder away.
Oh, that's why. Thank you. Thank you, Roger. Notice something. They didn't have a problem praying to the Lord. Also, they did not have a problem giving praise to the Lord.
Acknowledging it.
Right? We are so good at getting on our knees. But when the Lord answers our prayer, then what? Oh, yeah. It was my job. I did a thank you. No, you're not. When Daniel faced the chief executioner, he was not in absolute fear. He was tactful. Rather, he displayed courage under fire, and he spoke to him boldly and wisely. Would you go to Proverbs 28? Proverbs 28, verse 1. You heard this verse. Wicked flee when no one pursued, but righteous are bold as a lion. Amen? Amen. I'm sure that you heard this phrase that I already used. Christ does not make a man. They reveal the man. Daniel's faith in God gave the full display of his spiritual courage. I'm sure the Babylonian psychic cried out foul. Go back to verse 16, please. Verse 16. Daniel went in and asked the king to give him time that he might tell the king the interpretation. Okay, they would say, how come you don't give us time? You give us them a time. Life is not fair. Right? Why did the king Nebuchadnezzar would give him time? Maybe they earned it. Go to James 1:5, please. right after the book of Hebrews, chapter 1, verse 5. We need to remember this. James 1, 5. You there yet? If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Some of you ask me to pray, and sometimes you hear me praying this way. Lord, we need your wisdom. You said in your word, if anyone lacking in wisdom, and I quote this verse, we do need wisdom, don't we?
Yes.
We have a plenty of intelligence or the knowledge. All you need is Google. You can get plenty of knowledge. But wisdom is a different story. One more verse. Psalm 25, please. Psalm 25. Verse 14. The secret of the Lord is with those who fear him. Underline, fear him, please. And he will show them his covenant. I love that. Psalm 25:14. The smartest thing we can do when we face a trouble is to pray. That's not the least you can do, right? That's the foremost and the best you can do. God answered the prayers of his people. We don't need to panic or worry. Okay, let me ask, I want you to give me an answer. What does worry benefit you?
Nothing.
Ulcer. Really? Ulcer? Stress? More worry.
Baldness.
Worry brings another worry, doesn't it? Did I tell you my mama was a worrywart? She really, when there was nothing to worry, she worried that she doesn't have anything to worry. Actually, they don't do us any good, worry. And it can only give us an ulcer. If I was Daniel, I would rip out of bed and dive into robe and bolt to the king's palace, and right after I received the answer from God. But Daniel paused and acknowledged the giver of interpretation. In other words, Daniel did what we often forget to do, praise and thanksgiving. Amen? In the prayer list, there's about yet length of a praise report, and there are about this long prayer request. It should be the other way.
Amen.
Or at least the equal amount. Do we give thanks to God for each day?
Yes.
By end of the night, before you have a fellowship with your brother's pillow and sister's sheet, do you thank God?
Of course.
1 Thessalonians chapter 5, please. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16. Rejoice always, pray without... Okay, I'll start again. You there yet? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16. Rejoice always. It didn't say be happy. Rejoice, right? Pray without ceasing. In everything, complain.
Give thanks.
Okay. Give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. In other words, and how many of you wants to do the will of God? Every one of us, right? One of them is giving thanks to God. It is no wonder that the Lord used Daniel and his friend mightily, answered their prayers. In his short prayers, Daniel was quoting at least 15 passages of the scripture from Genesis, Exodus, Esther, Psalm, Ecclesiastes, and Isaiah. I want you to go home, check them out. And every underline, every every word mentioned here coming from this book. In other words, he hid those verses in his heart so that he could pull them out anytime he needed. It is no wonder that he had such a strong faith in the Lord, because he learned to trust him through the scripture he memorized. Word of God teach us, lead us, strengthen us, and heal us, and encourage us, and cleanse us, and guide us. And you probably wondered when you start to come to our church, and I've been bugging you guys, memorize this verse, memorize that verse. And you wonder, why you keep nagging on me? This is the reason. God speaks to you through the Word of God. Amen? Amen? And don't tell me you cannot memorize the Bible verses when you can memorize song lyrics. 24. Therefore, Daniel went to Arioch, and whom the king had appointed to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said thus to him, "Do not destroy the wise men of Babylon. Take me before the king, and I will tell the king the interpretation." And Arioch quickly brought Daniel before the king and said thus to him, get this, guys. I love this. "I have found the man of the captives of Judah who will make known to the king the interpretation." The king answered and said to Daniel, whose name is Belshazzar, "Are you able to make known to me the dream which I have seen and its interpretation?" Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, "Secret which the king has demanded, wise men, astrologers, magicians, and soothsayers cannot declare to the king, but there is a God in heaven who reveals the secret, and he made known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what will be in the latter days, your dream and the vision of your head upon your bed. What is? As for you, O king, thought came to your mind while on your bed about what would come to pass after this. He who reveals the secret has made known to you what will be, but as for me, this secret has not been revealed to me because I have more wisdom than anyone living. But for our sake, who make known the interpretation to the king, and that you may know the thought of your heart." Stop and give me an interpretation, please.
He gave God glory. He never said, I have the interpretation. No. There's a God in heaven, and it's not some wise man. It's God.
Good. I don't think any of us, if we come up with something, it will be just spin from there. So when God answers your prayer, be quick. Be quick to give him glory. Oh, yeah. Amen?
Amen.
What if God answers no? Throw a temper tantrum?
No.
That sounds all right.
Trust.
No? No?
Trust.
What if God says, wait? Right?
Mm-mm.
Any of you guys like wait command?
No.
Not really.
If you do, you are a sick human being. Yes, no, wait. They are all answer to the prayer. Be thankful. Okay. Here are two men, in stark contrast, Arioch, who tried to take the credit of finding the interpreter of the king's dream, and Daniel, who would give all the glory and credit to God. I'm sorry.
I'm going to say before, but Arioch, he put his neck on the line when he said, "I have a guy that has the interpretation." Because I know Daniel had it, but if he didn't have it, his neck would have been chopped off anyway.
No, he wouldn't. He has a second gear. He includes it with a beep, 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 and backing off. He told me that he said he, yeah, I mean, he will come up with an excuse real quick.
Yeah, it'll be kind of hard to kill yourself when you're the executioner.
Oh, he has another executioner, I'm sure.
Guy.
Hi, come in.
I was just looking for Karen real quick.
Sorry.
The pretty one.
Yeah.
There you go.
She is.
Okay, verse 31. Hey, guys, ladies. Close the door. You, O king, were watching the behold the great image. This great image, whose splendor was excellent, stood before you, and its form was awesome. And the image's head was of the fine gold, its chest and arms of silver, its belly and the thigh of bronze, its legs of iron, its feet partly of iron and partly of clay. You watched while a stone was cut out without hand. Note that, please. Cut out without hands. Which struck the image of its feet of iron and clay, broke them in pieces. Then the iron, the clay, and the bronze, and silver, and gold were crushed together, became like a chaff from the summer threshing floor. And the wind carried them away so that no trace of them was found. The stone that struck the image became a great mountain, filled the whole earth. And this is the dream. Now we will tell the interpretation of it before the king. Too bad we could not see the king Nebuchadnezzar's expression.
Yeah.
Verse 37. You, O king, are king, a king of kings. For God of heaven has... Wow, there is a food after the service. No, it's not? Okay, never mind. For the God of heaven has given you a kingdom, power, strength, and glory. And wherever the children of men dwell, all the beasts of the field and the birds of the heaven, he has given them into your hand, has made you ruler over them all, and you are the head of gold. But after you shall arise another kingdom inferior to yours, note that please, inferior to yours, then another third kingdom of bronze, which shall rule over all the earth. Verse 40, the fourth kingdom shall be as strong as iron, and as much as iron breaks in all pieces, shatter everything, like iron that crushes. Kingdom shall break the piece in pieces that crush all the others. Whereas you saw the feet and toes, partly part of clay and partly iron. The kingdom shall be divided, yet strength of iron shall be in it. Just as you saw the iron mixed with the ceramic clay, so and as the toes of the feet are partly iron and partly clay, so kingdom shall be partly strong, partly fragile. As you know, iron mixed with the clay, ceramic clay, they shall mingle with the seed of men, but they shall not adhere to one another. Just as iron does not mix with the clay, and its day in the days of these kings, God, the God of heaven shall set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces, consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. And as much as you saw that the stone was cut out of mountain without hands, that it broke the pieces in the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God has made known to the king that it will come, what will come to pass after this. The dream is certain, and its interpretation is sure. Give me your interpretation, please. Sorry, went too fast.
Kingdoms come and go, kings come and go, but there's only one true king, and that's our God.
Amen.
And he is going to, of course,
reign forever and ever.
In heaven, he has his kingdom.
Okay.
His kingdom will never end.
All right, who else? Yes.
God's quality is our God is omniscient. He knows everything.
Mm-hmm.
Just in such detail, he gave it to his omniscience and knowing everything that there is.
Okay, what does it mean to you?
God knows all. is how I think of his characteristics.
Okay. So, what does it mean to you?
That he knows that.
No, put that thing into your heart. Whoa. God, you know the God who knows everything, then what? How does that affect your life?
I can trust in him.
Good.
I can go ahead and know that whatever he asks for me.
Good. That's what I was pulling out from you. All right, who else? Anyone? Okay, if we could be the, somehow be inside of that throne room where King Nebuchadnezzar sitting on the throne with his royal robe and crown, that would be funny, a clown sitting on his head. And then here is Daniel talking to him. I'm sure by now his jaws dropped. He was in total in awe. And he realized this Danny boy knows something that he did not know. The head of him, this magnificent statue is composed of finest metal. From the chest down, it becomes devalued. Just like the little smooth stone was powered by the Holy Spirit that left the sling of David and killed the Goliath. This little stone cut out by the man's hand destroyed the whole statue. And then that little stone became a huge mountain and filled the entire earth. I'm sure that by now King Nebuchadnezzar could not even breathe. And because he's reliving through the dream that he didn't know. Thanks to God he didn't have, you know, I'm glad that the Lord did not leave the interpretation to Bible commentators. They would come up with about 20 different versions of a commentary, right? He gave us, because of that, he gave us a clear interpretation. What does this statue mean to us prophetically? Each metal represents a different kingdom, as we just read. First one, Babylon was the head of gold. The second one, Medo-Persia kingdom, was right behind Babylon, which was represented in the chest and the arm of silver. Why arm of silver? Literally, in overnight, Medo-Persia conquered the great Babylon. We will find out. And King Darius of the Mede demanded his conquered nation, conquered kingdom, pay tribute in silver. That was the correspondent with the silver chest and arms. Can I change the slide? Yes? No? Greece took over the world power from the Medo-Persia in 330 BC. That was the belly and the thigh of bronze. Alexander the Great conquered all the way to the India. In his destructive path, there was the Persian Empire, Medo-Persia, which didn't survive. Actually, Medo-Persia tried to invade Greece first, and they got whipped by the Spartan. And bronze was their choice of the Greek soldier's shield, hence the bronze image. You done writing? Not yet? Yes? No? Yes. Gary? Okay. I asked Gary because he take a long hand. Not sure then. Rome in 146 BC started to conquer the world with their iron sword and spear that was far superior to any other weapon material that enemy had. Later, Roman Empire was divided into the eastern and western part, as the two legs showed. Like I said, the Bible critic says, "Well, how can Daniel would know this kind of thing? It's so accurate. It must be written after all this happened." But problem is, Septuagint, Old Testament Greek manuscript contains this information way before any of these things happened. Okay. The feet of iron and the clay represent the kingdoms at the end time. The Roman Empire might have gone, but the political and the social and the cultural influence went far beyond their limited region. Entire Europe and America, as well as many other countries around the world, permeated with Roman political institutions and culture. And you may say, what are you talking about? Senate, House of Representatives, and the king or president, vice versa, and the judges separate, all of that coming from the Roman Empire. Ten toes signified the ten kingdoms. The reign of an Antichrist will be representing the final human kingdom on earth. Amen? The stone was cut out of a mountain without hand that represents Jesus Christ will certainly appear and destroy the nations of the world in setting up his own worldwide kingdom that cannot be destroyed. Let's go down to verse 46. Hey, we're going to finish this before 1 hour. King Nebuchadnezzar fell on his face, prostrate before Daniel, and commanded that they should present him an offering and incense to him. And the king answered Daniel, said, truly, your God is the God of gods, and Lord of kings, and the revealer of the secret. Since you could reveal this secret, then king promoted Daniel and gave him many great gifts, and he made him ruler over a whole province of Babylon and chief administrator over all the wise men of Babylon. I'm sure they love to have him as their commander. Also, Daniel petitioned the king, and he set Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon. But Daniel sat in the gate of the king. Daniel was faithful to the Lord, so the Lord rewarded him with a promotion. All right, give me your interpretation, please. What do you have? Not interpretation, application. Anyone? What do you have?
Always be faithful to God and trust God only. And God will reward you. He'll reward you.
Mm-hmm.
Take good care of you.
And don't forget to give him credit.
Yes.
What if he let you die? What if he let you stay in sickness?
Praise him. Isn't that the best gift of all?
Oh, one person. What?
You still praise him. Still give him
praise.
Well, if you die, you're going to heaven. So that's the best gift you can give you.
What can we lose, right?
You can't lose.
It's a win-win. Yep.
Okay. Anyone else? That was a good one. Who else? Applications. Come on, give me an application. Don't be shy. Here's mine. When we are in humanly impossible predicament, that's when the Lord steps in. Otherwise, we might take credit. Sometimes the situation gets worse and worse and worse to the point it's like, okay, I'm really done. There's not a thing I can do about it. That's when the Lord steps in. Second application I see is that our prayer only become powerful and effective if our Lord, who is absolutely all-powerful, all-knowing, and everywhere, listen to us. James 5:16, earnest prayer of the righteous man avails much, right?
Yep.
Why? Does it mean that prayer itself has a power?
No, it's
the one who listens to our prayer has a power.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Third application. When God works, there's no room for pride, only praise. Amen?
Amen.
Let's stand up and pray.